Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, have you ever planned a trip or, you know, decided you were going to go somewhere and then changed your mind? You know, like, let's say you were going to plan to go to Fredericksburg next week, right? And you get in the car and you plan. And a day comes and you get in the car and you're going to drive to Fredericksburg, right? But about halfway there, you say, you know, I heard there's a kind of a cool barbecue place right outside of Austin. Let's just go there instead. Anybody ever kind of plan on one thing and it changes and you end up doing something else? You know, your plans change. Hey, there's nothing wrong with Fredericksburg. By the way, it's a really cool city. Any of you that have been there. But there was just a change in direction to go to a different place. Well, let me give you a little insight today. That's a lot like sermon preparation. You know, you see, you start out and you're going to plan to cover something, a topic, a scripture, and it may be a fantastic scripture or a fantastic topic, but all of a sudden God shows up and changes your plans. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to cover that topic at some time. We're still going to go to Fredericksburg, okay? But just not now. You see, God has a different destination for this month of April than what we originally envisioned. This is what happened this past week. Pastor Karen and I had been, first of all, we'd been talking about the month of April being about relationships. That's really, you know, what we were planning to talk about in this whole month of April was relationships. But, you know, the more we started praying about it, God put a different topic in our hearts. Now, relationships are important. Relationships are important to God. They're important to us. And before this year's over, we will do a sermon series on relationships because it's important, just not now. As we prayed this week, God put this word in our hearts, identity. Specifically, our identity in Christ. You see, our identity is how we see ourselves. And it's fundamental in our self-awareness, because it helps us determine and understand and experience and live out our life here on earth. You know, Jesus understood a lot about he understood everything about his identity, right? He knew why he came to earth. And the thing is, if we want to experience the life that Jesus gave us by dying on that cross and rising on that third day that we celebrated, it's important for you and I to know our identity. Or some parts and things about our identity. Jesus expressed his understanding in many different ways, but very specifically, he made 7 statements about his identity, and they're all found in the book of John. They are called the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus said these 7 things about himself, about his identity. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the vine. Those are the 7 I am statements that Jesus made. You see, Jesus knew why he was here, and he understood. And each of these I am statements shows us a bit about the identity of Jesus. Did you know that because of Jesus, though, because of what he did for you, that there are some I am statements that you and I can now make because of Jesus? And that's what we're going to do in these next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about, because of Jesus, 4 I am statements that now you and I get to make. Next week, we're going to look at the I am statement and understand better the statement I am invaluable. That's next week. In week 3, we're going to look at a statement that says, I am influential. And then finally, in the 4th and final week, we're going to look at an I am statement that we'll be able to say with complete confidence that says, I am invested. I am invested. Well, what about today? What's today's I am statement here in week one of this powerful series that helps us look at the truth about who we are in Christ? Let me start by asking this question. Have you ever felt unwanted, unworthy, undeserving, maybe even unwelcome? Anybody here ever felt that way? I know I have. I remember many years ago, I was in the corporate world and I was a manager for a company, and I just moved to the Houston area. I had taken a position with this company, and I had only been with the company 2 weeks. And of course, I wasn't really familiar with Houston, having moved there from San Antonio. And so we were all the managers of the company were supposed to meet at this location in downtown Houston. Well, I didn't yet have a full appreciation of downtown Houston. Didn't understand the traffic, didn't understand how long it was really going to take me to get places. And I also had, of course, never been to this place that we were going to. So I seriously underestimated how long it was going to take me to get to this meeting. Well, you can imagine my embarrassment when I walked into the meeting 20 minutes late, the only one that was late. Okay? There were 30 other managers. And here's this guy, brand new to the company, showing up 20 minutes late to a meeting. I saw the stares. I saw the glares. I felt the judgment. Hey, who's this new guy, man? He can't even get to a meeting on time, is what I believe they were probably thinking. Who is this guy, man? He's coming in. He can't even get to a meeting. Wow. How about you? You see that photo on Facebook and you wonder, how come I wasn't invited to that? You walk into a room. For some reason, you just don't feel welcome. Feel out of place. I'm here to tell you today that because of Christ, there is an I am statement that you and I can make. And that is this: I am invited. Will you turn to your neighbor right now and say, I am invited? Now say to your other neighbor, the one you didn't turn to the first time, I am invited. I am invited. If you have ever felt left out, rejected, embarrassed, unworthy, or uninvited, I have some good news for you today. I have some really good news. Jesus invites those who others reject. Did you hear me? Jesus invites those who others reject. You know, last week, Pastor Karen taught us so well that Jesus didn't come for the well. He came for those that needed healing. He came for those that needed a doctor, right? Let me add to that today. Jesus also came for the uninvited. Did you hear me? Jesus came for the uninvited. Yes. Does that make anyone else happy besides me? And he came to give them, and you and I, an invitation. An invitation to his love, his grace, his mercy, his healing. You see, Jesus came for those who were rejected and are rejected by others. Those that religion despises. Those who have ever felt embarrassed, unworthy, or undeserving. That's who Jesus came for. I've been there, and I think so have you. But I'm here today to remind you that you are invited. I want us to look today at a story found in Luke chapter 7. I want to give you a little context first before we start going to the scripture. So Jesus in this story is in the company of some Pharisees. Now the Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. And at this time, Jesus had been going around claiming that he was the Son of God. He was full on into his mission at this point. He had been telling everybody, yes, when you've seen God, you've seen me. Eyes are, you know, popping open, mouths are dropping. People really didn't know what to think. Now, the Pharisees, they were, to say the least, shocked right? I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. But yet the Pharisees had this relationship with Jesus like, just in case this is true, I better get to know a little bit more about this guy, okay? So they kind of had this love-hate relationship with Jesus. So here's the thing. If Jesus was really who he said he was, then he should fit right in with the Pharisees, right? I mean, Son of God, the Pharisees are supposed to be the religious leaders of the day. I mean, they were the holy ones dressed in all the robes and spouting off scripture, telling everyone how to live their life, how to live their religion. Surely Jesus would fit in with them, right? Wouldn't he be their peeps? Remember, Jesus came to invite the uninvited. Jesus came for those rejected by religion. So here's the story. Let's start in Luke chapter 7. We're going to be starting in verse 36. So this is what it says in verse 36 and 37 to start. One of the Pharisees, and we'll find out later, this Pharisee's name was Simon. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. All right, let me stop right here. Here's Jesus reclining at a table with a bunch of religious leaders, Pharisees, right? And here comes a woman of the city, it says, a sinner. Let me translate for you. That means she was a prostitute. Oh, the movie trailer just went from G to R really quick. That's what's going down here, okay? And it says that the woman had heard about Jesus. Somehow had learned that he was going to be at this table. Because everyone else at that table, I guarantee you, wasn't going to invite her. Mm-mm. That was not going to happen. Now, how did she hear about this? It doesn't really say. We're not really sure. Maybe she had seen Jesus perform. Because earlier that day, Jesus had actually performed quite a few miracles. So maybe she witnessed some of that. Maybe she was hoping that he was a man who wouldn't treat her the way the men of the world were treating her. Maybe that's what she was looking for. Maybe she heard, hey, he's not like the other men. He can heal me. He will invite me when others won't. Now listen, we don't know what led to her way of life. Maybe she hadn't been loved as a child. Maybe her parents had died and weren't there to take care of her anymore, and she simply had no other way to make money and to survive. Maybe she was constantly rejected and made to feel unwelcome and uninvited. I believe with all my heart that this woman did not choose the life she was currently living. You know, think about it. I don't think when she was a teenager sitting around with her girlfriends and they're saying, hey, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a finance person. I want to have three kids. I don't think she turned around and said, well, yeah, I'm going to go sell my body for money. That's the ticket. I don't think that was going on. I don't think she chose to be where she was or wanted to be where she was. And yet here she was coming before Jesus with something to offer him. Let's continue now. Luke 7, beginning in verse 38. It says, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, it says, and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, so he's muttering under his breath, if this were a true prophet, really, if this guy were really a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a what? A sinner. And Jesus answering him, remember Jesus, even if you're muttering under your breath, he still hears you. Remember, he knows every thought that comes into your head before it comes in, right? Huh. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. All right, let me tell you something. When Jesus said, I got something to say to you, you better get ready. You better get ready. And so Simon says, all still full of himself, well, go ahead and say it, teacher. Come on, give it to me. Huh. Really, Simon, are you sure you want to hear what Jesus is about to say? Are you really sure? Come on, Jesus, say it. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said. I'm going to paraphrase a lot, but his response is found in verses 41 through 50 of Luke chapter 7. So Jesus starts by giving another parable. Jesus loved to tell stories, right? In fact, that's almost exclusively how he taught, was through stories. And so in this story, he says, look, there was once a money lender. So let's call them the Bank of Jerusalem. That's my title for them. Okay? Jesus didn't say no bank. He just said, but there was a certain money lender who had loaned two people money. Okay? One of the people owed him 500 denarii. Let me explain something to you. 500 denarii is equivalent to about $500,000 in today's money. So imagine you owe 500K. Okay? And then there was another man that the lender had loaned 50 denarii to. And that 500K is assuming someone makes $50,000 a year. Okay, I'm using that as an example. So in that same example, if you make $50,000 a year, even the second person would owe 50K, okay? 10 times less than the 500. Still a lot of money. Anyone here not think $50,000 is a lot of money? It is a lot of money. So Jesus describes, though, how neither of them could pay the money back. Neither of them. And so he says what the lender ended up doing was actually forgiving the debt for both of them, right? And so then Jesus looks at Simon and says, so Simon, which of these debtors do you think would appreciate and love the money lender more of these two? Which of these two? And Simon kind of hems and haws, kind of sheepishly, he almost reluctantly says, well, I guess the one who was forgiven the most, right? I guess the 500K guy would probably love the moneylender more. And Jesus says, ding, ding, ding. You got it, Simon. That's exactly the right answer. That's exactly the right answer. But then let me tell you what Jesus does. So I want you to picture this. So they're at the table. Jesus and all these Pharisees, and imagine, you know, I'm sitting maybe where Jesus is, Simon, the Pharisee is at the table across, and then you have this woman who's been doing what? Basically washing Jesus' feet with her tears, kissing his feet, okay? So just keep that in mind. So this is what happened. Jesus kind of turns toward the woman, but he's still talking to Simon, okay? He turns toward the woman, still talking to Simon. And this is what he says. You know, Simon, I want you to look at this woman right here, he tells him. I want you to look at her for a minute. When I entered your house tonight, no one offered to wash my feet, which, by the way, was customary. That was actually a very minimum standard. When you had a guest in your house, the very first thing that the host of the house was supposed to do was to offer to have your feet washed. It was a common courtesy. It's like, hey, the bathroom's over there. You know, paper towels are in there. You're like, if someone came to your house or my house, that's what we'd do. So, you know, so you knew where the stuff was. But back then, that was just the basic common courtesy to have your feet washed when you were a guest in someone's house, okay? Jesus said, look, I came in your house tonight. Not a single person even offered to wash my feet. And yet this woman, see, Simon, this woman, she chose to wash my feet with her tears. With her tears. Simon, he said, I walked through your doorway and no one even greeted me with a kiss. Again, another very basic part of when you had someone in your house, you'd offer to wash their feet and you'd give them a kiss on the cheek. That was just standard operating procedure. Jesus said, look, when I came in, you didn't even give me a kiss. And yet this woman, since the minute she walked in here, has not stopped kissing my feet. You sure you're happy you told Jesus to say it now, Simon? Because he's saying it. Jesus went on to tell Simon, you see, Simon, it's those, hear me now. This is, if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. Jesus told him, see, Simon, it's those that have been forgiven of much that love much. It's those that have been forgiven of much that love much. This woman, rightly, Simon, she has a lot of sin in her life. Absolutely, that's true. Jesus didn't deny that. He didn't gloss over it. He didn't say, oh, no, she's... No, he said, yeah, she's got a lot of sin. But guess what? They're all being forgiven. That's what Jesus told Simon. Can someone help me with that? Can someone be thankful that your sins are forgiven? No matter how much you think you messed up, Jesus said, this day, this night, that woman's sins are going to be forgiven. Why? Because she loved much and she repented much. And then Jesus went on to explain. You see, sometimes those who don't feel like they need a lot of forgiveness don't love much. It's those that don't feel like they need the forgiveness. Those people tend to love little. I want to remind you that in this story, there were two debtors, not just one. And the one that had $50,000 forgiven, I think that's a lot of forgiveness. How about you? Even if, and I think what was going on here is I think Simon was identifying as the 50K guy. Like, well, yeah, I got a few sins to repent of. Maybe I got to work on a little bit, but I ain't nothing compared to her. See, that's the attitude that Simon had. But Jesus already corrected that, didn't he? He said, no, Simon, let me tell you why she's crying. Let me tell you why she's actually at my feet weeping, washing my feet with her tears. Because she has a lot to be forgiven from, and she is grateful for it. You see, we want to qualify our sin. You and I want to qualify. Jesus does not see our sin that way. See, we want to say, well, this sin is worse than that one and that one. No, that's what we want to do, but that's not what Jesus said. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all have fallen short. Every single one of us. And when Jesus died on that cross, he died for all of our sins, and he died for all sinners, not just some. Come on. The difference that night between Simon the Pharisee and the woman with the alabaster jar was simply one word: gratitude. Gratitude. She understood how much she was being forgiven from. Simon was still in his world of denial. It's like, he doesn't even know she's a sinner, man. Why is he letting her do all that? That woman did not come to the table that night because she was invited. She came because Jesus invites those that others reject. That's why she came to that table. She crashed the party because of her bold faith and her belief that even though Simon and the rest of the Pharisees may not have wanted her there, Jesus did. No matter what others may think of you, I want you to know, hear me, you are invited. You are invited to the table. Even if you feel unworthy to be at the party, you're still invited because Jesus says that you are. Jesus says that you're invited. You see, there is no sin that you have committed that can get you kicked off the guest list. Did you hear me? There's no sin that you can commit that gets you kicked off the guest list. You are invited. Now, the real question is, what do you do with the invitation? You're invited. You're in. The real question now is, what do you do with that invitation? I want to go to another story. It's found in Luke chapter 14. I'm just going to tell you about it. Go home and read it. It's not going to be on your screens. I want you to just listen to me now. This is a story titled The Parable of the Great Banquet. In some versions, it's called The Great Wedding Feast. You see, there was a man who once gave a banquet, the scripture says. And this man sent his servant to all of those who had been invited to the party. Okay? He said, I want you to go talk to every single person who's been invited. I want you to tell them the banquet's ready. Come on. I mean, I've got the full spread out. I've got everything. I've got nachos and I've got, you know, tortillas and I've got fajitas. It's all ready. And so the servant goes to each and every person who is on the invitation list. And this is what happens. As he begins to encounter each person, each one begins to give him a reason, an excuse, why they won't be able to come to the banquet. One person says, hey, I just got a new field. I got to go plow. Another person says, oh, I got 5 new oxen I got to go take care of. Another person says, oh, I just got married, so sorry, I can't make it. Every single person that was on the list made an excuse. Really, if we're honest, kind of the undertone of the story, it's not because they couldn't go, it's because they wouldn't go. It's really what the story is saying. Could they have gone? You better believe they could have gone. They chose not to. They chose not to. So the servant comes back and he tells the master, hey, everybody who you invited ain't coming. Well, the scripture says that the man actually became quite angry. The master actually became quite angry. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want you to go back out and I want you to start inviting everybody you see. The lame, the blind, the crippled, all the pretty people that weren't on the original list. I want you to start inviting every single person that you see that was not on the original list. The servant comes back and says, okay, I've gone out. I have invited everybody that fit that category. And guess what, master? They said they're all going to come. Cool. But the servant says, but you know, even if they all come, there's actually still a lot of unfilled seats at this banquet. There's actually room for a lot more still. And the master says, okay, then now this is the next thing I want you to do. The scripture says, I want you to go to the highways and the hedges. Highways and the hedges. In other words, I want you to now go everywhere and I want you to start inviting everyone to my banquet. In fact, the word that the master uses to the servant is, I want you to compel people to come to my party. You know what? Compel is a very strong invitation. Compel is not like, hey, if you can make it, you know, show up, you know, 7:30, you know, maybe we'll have a... No, compel means I really want you to be there. And that's the language that Jesus asked to be used. I want you to compel people. By now, you've probably figured out who the man in the story is, right? It's Jesus. When's the last time you compelled somebody to come to Christ? What does that look like for you? Maybe it's telling somebody about your story, about what Jesus has done in your life. Maybe compelling looks like inviting somebody to church. You know what? Just by a show of hands, you don't have to look around. How many of you here, the first time you ever came to church, came because somebody invited you? Mm-hmm. Do you know that studies show that 82% of people will come to church if you invite them? Did you know that? I'm talking your friends, your family. The problem is we got to compel. We have to have some courage. We have to have some like this servant did, right? But we're scared. No, I want you to know that there's probably an 80% chance that the person's going to say yes. So Jesus says, the master, I want you to invite everybody, not just the pretty people, not just those who think they have it all together. And by the way, if you think you have it all together, no, you don't. Nobody does. Nobody does. Not you, not me. You see, you and I need Jesus every bit as much as that woman with the alabaster jar. Every single one of us needs Jesus every bit as much as she did. There are parts of you that are crippled. There are places in your life that are lame. There are places in your life where you're blind. And Jesus wants all of us at his banquet, not just a few. The master says, I want my house to be filled, is what the story says in Luke 14. He wants, there's another part of scripture that God says he does not desire that anybody should perish. God's desire is for everyone to be in his family. That's good. Hear me now. That is God's desire. Any person that chooses not to, if we're being real, is the one who is invited that chooses not to come. Now, of course, there's going to be people, you know, the scripture's clear. There's going to be people in the world that make that choice. But it's not because they're not invited. And it's not because God doesn't want them there. Please hear me. God wants everybody. He created us all to return to him. That was his intention from the beginning. And that is still his intention. You see, Jesus wants everybody at his table. He wants everybody at his banquet, not just a few. Jesus wants his house filled. But at the very end of that story, in Luke 14, Jesus has a warning for those who choose not to accept his invitation. And it's the very last line of the story. It says this in Luke 14, verse 24. For I tell you, none of these men who what? Were invited. We're talking about the original guest list now. Shall taste my banquet. Wow. My friends, you are invited. You are invited. Don't let your hurts, your hang-ups, your feelings of unworthiness keep you from coming to the wedding, to the banquet, to the feast that Jesus has prepared for you and for me. You may be that cripple who the servant invited. You might be the poor, the lame, the overlooked, the uninvited that the servant sought and went out and found. Don't miss out on the meal that Jesus has prepared for you and for me. Don't decline. Don't find excuses when Jesus sends an invitation. You may receive an invitation to serve in his house. You may receive an invitation to tell somebody about how good he is. You may receive an invitation to come to him. His word says when you're weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. You see, Jesus extends invitations in all kinds of ways. And in fact, one of the other sermon series we're going to do at some point are those 7 I am statements of Jesus. We're going to look at those at some point. See, sermons and the food that God wants us to get should be a well-balanced diet, right? God isn't a junk food diet, right? He wants us healthy. And so we're going to present and talk about a lot of different things throughout the course of a year, right? Relationships will be one of them at some point. But you see, we also try and listen to the Holy Spirit when God says, yeah, that's nice. We're going to get to that. But right now, I want you to talk about identity. And that's what we're trying to do, is follow what he's asking us to do. But don't decline. Don't decline when you get that invitation. You see, he wants you there. Even hear me now, even if others may tell you that you're not welcome. Did you hear me? Even if someone who's hurt you in the past, or whatever reason you think you're not invited, you are. Because Jesus says you are. He wants you at his table. He wants you at his feast. He wants his banquet to be full. And he wants you there. He wants you there. So when you get that invitation, run to him. Don't run away from him. When the Holy Spirit whispers to you, listen to that. That's your invitation. Will you just say this with me as we begin to close? I am invited. Say it, please. I am invited. Say it again. I am invited. One more time. I am invited. May we leave here today, my friends, knowing and believing that truth, receiving that truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, don't let anybody ever make you feel uninvited. Because remember, feelings are not always true. The truth is, Jesus says you are invited. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us and that you invite us to be at your table, at your beautiful banquet. And God, we're so thankful that because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, that we can now come boldly before you. The word clearly says we are invited, literally, to approach you, to love you, and to come before you. And God, we're so grateful because we've been forgiven of so much. And God, because of that, we are wanting to love you so much. Father, help us now. Holy Spirit, will you be with us now? And let us not decline when that invitation comes. Your invitation to love us, to care for us, to heal us. Your invitation to tell others about you. God, from this day forward, we ask that you show us how to live as invited people, as the invited people that you say we are. And God, let us, like the servant did, tell others about your goodness and your grace so that they can come to the banquet too. We love you, Father, and it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Now, with every eye still closed and every head still bowed, maybe you're sensing right now that Holy Spirit whispering to you, inviting you. The Holy Spirit saying, now is your time to accept that invitation. And he's inviting you to accept Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of your life, even in this very minute. If that's you today, would you just pray this simple prayer with me right now? And listen, I invite everybody to pray with me right now. Even if you made this declaration long ago, it's a great chance to remind and renew that commitment. But would everybody just say this in support of anyone today who may be doing this for the very first time? Would we just say this? Today, I repent of my sins. I believe that you died for me and that you rose again to give me a new life. Lord Jesus, wash me clean and make me new. today I accept your invitation and make you the Lord and the Savior of my life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yes. Can we just celebrate right now for anyone that made that decision? The word says in heaven there's a celebration going on, and we're celebrating right here. Listen, if anyone made that decision today, right after church in the back, we'll have some of our team who would love to just agree with you and pray with you and celebrate with you. And they also have some information to give you that will help you in your next steps with Christ.
Amen, amen. That's a good word. Powerful word. Thank you for that word. I pray it sinks in our hearts and we're changed forever. Amen?
Amen.
So this is the time in our service when we worship God with our tithes and offerings. Giving what God has already given to us is a form of worship. Giving it back to Him and just thanking Him just for who He is. He's a generous God. He's a good God. Amen. So we have three ways to give, and they're listed on the screen. And there's also an envelope in the seat back in front of you if you'd like to give that way. You can fill it out. Don't forget to fill it out. And then drop it in the giving box on the Connect table on your way out today. But let me pray for you as you prepare your gift. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. You are such a good God. You're generous and you love us so much. First and foremost, you're generous with your Son, your only Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, Lord, so that we could live forever with you. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you give us the ability to work with our hands, to earn a living, Lord. And we want to honor you, Father, as we prepare our gifts for you to sow into good soil into your house, Lord. Father, I pray that you bless the hands of the giver. You prosper them as their soul prospers. We love you, Lord. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Connect cards. Do we need to talk
Connect
about
cards.
Those again?
Yeah. We Go. Both look at each other like, okay. Hey, if you're new here today, again, in the seat back in front of you, there's a Connect card. Fill it out and drop it off at the Connect table. We want to keep you abreast of what's going on here at Pursuit Church. And we just want to kind of connect with you and say, hey, we're glad you came today. And if you're new, when you drop it off at the Connect table, we have a little gift that says, hey, thanks for stopping by today. Thanks for joining us in worship today.
Very good. All right. Say this with me. This Friday.
This Friday.
A little louder.
This Friday.
Hey, listen, we have some really dear friends of this house, Petey and Angela Marrero. They've preached here many times, or Pastor Petey's preached here many times. Yeah. They've been with us many times over the years. In fact, he'll be preaching twice here in the month of May. But they're just a beautiful couple who, they are a traveling ministry in terms of, they lead worship at conferences, at different churches, all kinds of things. And one of the things that they do right now is they put on what are called Heart and Soul Praise and Worship Nights. Yeah. And different churches throughout the city host those. Well, we are hosting this Friday their Heart and Soul Worship Night. Can I get an amen and a round of applause
great.
For that?
It's going to be good.
It is going to be, if you've never seen them sing, oh my gosh, they are just beyond belief, fantastic. So it's going to be, but we're the host for them this time. So it is them putting it on. It's also an opportunity. They have merchandise and all kinds of things. I think there's going to be some food there from what I understand.
Oh,
so
I don't know about
listen,
that.
Yeah, I think okay. I saw something about some food. So listen, it's at 7:30 this Friday. We encourage anyone that would like to be here for that. Come on out, support them. It is going to be a powerful, powerful night. So 7:30 this Friday, yep. Heart and Soul Praise and Worship Night. Okay?
Yep. We'll be there, 7:30.
All right. Are we forgetting anything else?
Nope,
are we good? All right. If you stand, I'd love to pray for us. And again, we are a friendly church here. We encourage you when you're done, go out in the lobby, get to know somebody you haven't met yet, hang around. I think we still got some goodies and water and some stuff, goodies out there. Just feel free to hang around and get to know some folks, all right? So would you just pray with me right now? Extend your hand. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. Father, we're grateful for the power of your word. Father, will your word right now, will it remain in us, Father, as we walk out of here today? Help us, Father, to live it out. Help us to live as the invited people that we are to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's go out this week, pursue God, and love people.